John Paul II's encyclical Mater Redemptoris, Mother of the Redeemer, will go down in history as one of the greatest Marian encyclicals of all time. And I want us to tap some of the riches by going through some of the specific insights that truly came from the heart of a Pope in deep love with Our Lady. Hello and welcome to MaryCast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And we gave a little introduction to the power of this encyclical in terms of serving as really a Mariological corrective, almost like a Marian chiropractor who sets proper the proper structure of the truth about Mary in relation to Jesus first, and then secondly, the truth about Mary in relation to the church, and then ultimately how we are supposed to respond to that truth. What was interesting, in 1987 when this encyclical came out, the New York Times headline was something to the effect of, Pope gives ecumenical encyclical which downplays traditional Marian doctrine. And I thought two things. One, what an amazing misrepresentation of this encyclical. And secondly, how it's better not to read so much of secular press's understanding of something like an encyclical rather than just reading the ink itself. Because this was such a misrepresentation. In fact, the very first section of part one is called Full of Grace. And the Holy Father goes through a beautiful and profound treatment of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception and the other principal dogmas. But I want to give you a couple of her unique scriptural presentations as they're contained here by our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, in how he's taking passages of Scripture, which are sometimes incorporated in ways opposite or contra Our Lady, and how John Paul II shows are exactly in service of the truth about our Blessed Mother. For example, in Luke 11:28, this is the famous passage of Mary being made reference to by a woman in the crowd. Scripture says, quote, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that gave you suck." This is the woman from the crowd. And Jesus responds, quote, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Now, that at first could sound like it's something derogatory to the mother of Jesus, but in fact we're going to see that the meaning of Jesus is a compliment to Mary in a couple of ways. Well, what does the text say? John Paul says that Jesus wished to divert attention from a mere motherhood of the flesh and direct it to the, quote, "mysterious bonds of the Spirit." What does that mean? That means that the Holy Father was trying to talk about the spiritual priority of hearing and living the Word of God, even over natural boundaries of love and blood connection. Let me give you an example. There was a gentleman in the Holy Lands who was an American. He was over there helping the Patriarch of Jerusalem. And he said, you know, it's hard for me in this culture of the Middle East because the family ties are so difficult. In fact, when I want to make a friend with someone, I have to be accepted by their family. And I've been told that if I were to marry a girl from a family over in the Middle East, that my family would have to take on her family, both as family, but also take on their enemies as our enemies. He said, I've never seen a tighter family unit for better or for worse. Now, whether or not that is a fair depiction of Middle East families, it does testify to the fact that the family commitment is extremely intense. So, what was Jesus saying when he's saying, blessed rather are they who hear the word of God and take it? What he's saying is, even more important than my blood relations is the new spiritual family. That is, the new spiritual acceptance of Jesus Christ and the family of God, and that we know sometimes will call us to break blood relations. Sometimes that's going to upset family members. Sometimes that's going to be an impediment to a peaceful blood family situation so that we can be spiritually united in the kingdom of God. So what was Jesus doing? He was specifying and highlighting the spiritual priority of hearing the word of God. Well, how is that a compliment of Our Lady? Well, John Paul will go on to say that, quote, the blessing of Christ of discipleship, despite appearances, coincides with the blessing of the woman in the crowd, in the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she is the first to hear the word of God and to keep it. My friends, it's very simple. Mary so was the first to hear the word of God and keep it that she gave the word flesh. No one else has ever kept the word of God like Mary kept the word of God. And so Mary is both the fulfillment of Jesus' praise, those who hear the word of God and keep it, but she's also the proper fulfillment of the praise of the woman. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that gave you suck. So in the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we have both the one who first hears the word of God and keeps it, and also the one who literally gave flesh and gave suck to the word made flesh. Far from something derogatory, this is espousing the beauty of our Blessed Mother. Now, another passage that John Paul II gives a masterful commentary on is number 21, is John 2, 1 through 10, the wedding of Cana. And John Paul II will say that at Cana, Mary's spiritual motherhood is outlined in a way that leads us to Calvary. John Paul II makes a beautiful comment regarding Mary's mediation at Cana. And he says, literally, that Mary puts herself in the middle. That is to say, she acts as a mediatrix, not as an outsider, but in her position as mother, end quote. What does that mean? That means that the Holy Father is saying that, look, she is the mother of Jesus, but she's the mother of the mystical body. She has every right to intercede into your life and into my life. And she has every right to be the spokesman of her son's will, as John Paul II coined that phrase in this encyclical. The spokesman of her son's will. That means she has the right to bring her son into any situation. Why? Because you're her child, and because I'm her child, and because she wants Jesus in the midst of our lives, regardless of the trial, the complication, the difficulty, or even the joy. So Mary puts herself in the middle. Now, why does John Paul II use that expression? Because that's what the Greek word mesitis means in reference to mediatrix or a mediator. It means literally in the middle, to be put in the middle. And so John Paul II uses Cana as one of the most profound examples of Mary acting as a mother in her capacity as a mediatrix. He says, too, something that Archbishop Fulton Sheen said that was very, very powerful, and that is that Mary's motherhood, her spiritual motherhood at Cana, is preparing the way for her ultimate motherhood at Calvary. How so? Well, this is how the great Archbishop Sheen explains it. When Mary and Jesus are exchanging their words, and Mary says at the wedding of Cana, they have no wine, and Jesus says, you know, what is this to you and to me? My time has not yet come. My hour has not yet come, which always makes reference to Calvary. The reference to you and to me is precisely saying that, look, if I do this miracle, they will know who I am. If they know who I am, my public ministry starts. If my public ministry starts, we are on the fast track to Calvary. Are you ready for that, woman? Are you ready for that, mother? And that's why Mary responds with an act of faith, saying her last words of Scripture, do whatever he tells you. And so indeed, Mary's act of faith is what leads them from Cana in private to the public ministry of Jesus, which then leads to Calvary, which then leads to the redemption of us all. And so we have at Cana, Jesus and Mary as Redeemer and co-redemptrix, saying, what is this to you and to me? It's the mission of redemption. Mary says, yes, the time is now. She goes forward with the act of faith. And what takes place? You have a miracle which leads us to the public ministry of Jesus. And that, in turn, leads us to Calvary and our redemption. Mary is the mediatrix. And John Paul II, in this encyclical, continues to show us, in a unique and powerful way, the truth and the love of our Blessed Mother. Stay with us in this series. We have more to say about Redemptoris Mater and John Paul's masterful insights regarding Our Lady. This is Dr. Mark Mirvali saying, God bless.